Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Green Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Green Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken win! Milliken win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Yes, indeed. We have our NFL picks coming up here momentarily. That'll happen at 11:15. Just a quick run through of what's going on in sports. So, a busy day in downtown St. Louis. Three different sporting events that I'm aware of. If you want to add some to the list, go right ahead. But I know that St. Louis University has two of them. And that City Park has the other one, soon to be Energizer Park. So there is a game going on at City Park at noon, the Big Ten tournament final for the women's soccer. It's UCLA against Rutgers. UCLA, one of the great programs in America, taking on a very good Rutgers team. And UCLA was able to get through its first game by beating Washington. USC was knocked off by Rutgers in the first game of the Big Ten Women's Tournament. The final is happening at City Park. Now, just up the road at Herman Stadium, Katie Shields is going to put her A-10 champion for the last 6 years on the pitch. At noon, they are hoping for a packed house on a gorgeous day today for St. Louis University soccer taking on UMass. The SLU women have won six consecutive A-10 tournaments, going for number seven today. They beat St. Joseph's 2-0 to get to this final. And St. Joseph's a team that's kind of had their number here this year, at least. They had a draw with them last time around, so they were able to get that 2-0 win. They just don't give up goals, this SLU team. I mean, I know they've got some talented women who can score, but they do not give up goals. And a 2-0 win for them sets up this game against UMass. They're going to try to win the A-10 tournament for the seventh straight time. Then at 3 o'clock, that crowd is going to make its way into Chaffetz Arena for a tip-off against Avila University. They are out of the western side of our state. And a lot of their players are from the Kansas City area, as a matter of fact. Lee Summit, Independence, Kansas City, Kansas. Avila University, they play out of NAIA, and they'll be taking on Robbie Avila's St. Louis University Billikens. Now, Avila's not going to play. He has a sprained ankle. He's going to be out at least a couple of weeks. But the Billikens do have a team that needs to work on some things coming out of the Santa Clara game, offensive rebounding, maybe more efficiency on offense, perhaps locking down on perimeter defense a little bit better. Santa Clara was getting off a lot of shots on them. But we'll see how they look. They should have an easy time with Avila, but it's a basketball game, and you play with pride, and we'll see how SLU looks today. Looking forward to hearing that on KMOX at 3 o'clock, 2:45 pregame. I'll have it on the TV side, as I mentioned, with Troy Robertson that we talked about a little while ago last hour. So three things going on right here downtown. Two big women's soccer conference finals in the same city, and then SLU playing at Chaffetz Arena. The NFL is going on. We're going to have NFL picks for you in just a little bit. That'll be coming up after the break. The Kansas City Chiefs are undefeated. They are 8-0 this season. The Chiefs are going to be playing today at noon against the Denver Broncos. That game can be heard on 97.1 FM, KFTK. That's because we are bringing you the Billikens, and they would run into each other, probably. So a 2:45 pregame for Sloot today, and the Chiefs, who kick off at noon, will be playing on KFTK. We ran through the college football scoreboard for you, and it sure was an incredible day. We'll see what happens when the CFP rankings come out. Now, the AP poll is going to come out a little bit later. They're pretty close to each other. I was impressed, actually, how aligned they were with each other. But that said, the AP poll does not matter anymore. I mean, you can read it, hear about it all you want. Rankings don't matter. All that matters is the college football playoff rankings at the end, because these games are just going to be crazy. Yesterday, Georgia losing to Ole Miss, Miami losing to Georgia Tech, and other teams starting to creep back into it, like Alabama handing it to LSU. It's just an embarrassing loss for LSU. They're out. Alabama's now back in the picture. It is hard to win in college football. So if you are able to win convincingly, it's just another feather in your cap. And that is what Alabama has done here. BYU survived by beating their rival Utah. A lot of controversy about the officiating in that one. There's just all kinds of stuff going on right now in college football, and it is a lot of fun. On that, though, officiating's got to be good in these great games, and the Utah athletic director, Mark Harlan, is not pleased. He actually blasted the Big 12 officiating crew after the game. The athletic director, not the coach, the AD. Controversial calls on the Cougars' winning drive 22-21 over the Utes. Harlan took the podium shortly before the players and the coach arrived to address the media. That's how upset, that's how hot he was. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get on the podium before the players and coach come. And he gets there, said the game was stolen, and said that he will take his complaints to the Big 12 commissioner. Utah appeared to have stopped BYU twice on fourth down on the final drive. Both times the play was wiped out by officials, and the Cougars moved down the field and kicked the winning field goal with 4 seconds to play. And Utah is not having it. They are not pleased whatsoever. Find that interesting, of course. On the topic of football, we're going to go right into it with our NFL picks. We're going to take a break, come back with that. Then after we do our picks, we'll break again. We'll tell you what's coming up in other sports as well. Then at 11:30, John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, will be with us. Looking forward to having him back. A lot of questions for him. 11:45, Bernie Miklas. Like he only can. Wrapping up everything for us and touching on a number of subjects to finish off sports on a Sunday morning. We're here until noon. We're in downtown St. Louis. It's a beautiful day. Stay with us. Back after this.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonis.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George, 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Yes, the great offensive lineman, Tom Ackerman. One day we will meet. We will spend time. We'll talk about being Tom Ackerman's. And he'll tell me great stories about opening holes for Robert Holcomb and Eddie George. Welcome back to the show. Tom Ackerman, the broadcaster, with you. It is time for our NFL picks. Our producer is James O'Sullivan. James, I've been pretty good on these picks. Last week, I was 2 games over .500, I think, was what we decided, 8-6. It's not terrible. The week before that, I didn't make the picks on the air. I was off that weekend, so I did them on my own, and I went 6-7. That was not up to my standard. The weeks before that, really good. I mean, if you followed along, you did well. 10-3. And the week before that, 10-2-1 against the spread. So we'll see if I can get back to a 10-win week. This is week 10 in the NFL, and it's time to make some picks. Let's start with the game that'll be on 97.1 FM, FM Talk. KFTK will be carrying the Chiefs and the Broncos today. You know, Kansas City is 8-0. Did you know that they have actually won 14 straight games going back to last season? That is crazy in the NFL. That does not happen. The last team to do that, actually, I'll bet no one will get this right. Who's the last team to go 14-0? Carolina in 2015. I know. Carolina is the worst team in the NFL. However, they're winning right now. Carolina is beating the Giants right now, 17-14 with 3:33 to go in a game that is being played in Munich. That's right. It's getting down to the wire in Germany. Carolina leads the Giants 17-14 with 3:33 to go. But back to the Chiefs. They have won 14 in a row. Big matchup here against the Denver Broncos, a team that I think is going to be better and better and better as Sean Payton continues to coach them. But not today. The Chiefs are going to be playing at Arrowhead Stadium. They're a 7-point favorite, and I like them to cover, even though I hate that big number, especially they're kind of eking out games. But they're due to win a game decisively. And I think they do that today against the Broncos on a beautiful day in front of their packed house. Chiefs minus 7. Let's go with the Bears and the Patriots. What a terrible game. That's going to be very, very low scoring. If you were doing overs, and I don't do that here, but it's 37 is the over-under. I'd take the under. But the spread is 6.5. Bears are 6.5-point favorites at home against the Patriots. I will take it. I'll go Bears minus 6.5, but I don't love it. The other game today at noon is Buffalo and Indianapolis. Now, this is interesting. The Bills are hot right now, although they barely got by Miami, much to my surprise. I thought Buffalo was going to blow up Miami. I should have consulted with Scott Jagow, our news anchor, who's a Bills fan, who told me he knew that it was going to be a tough game. I should have listened to him before I went out here telling you to take the Bills and give the points. This time around, I'm telling you to not give the points. I think you take the Colts plus 4.5 at home against the Bills today. Colts plus 4.5 is what I've got. Bills might win it by a field goal, but I got Colts plus 4.5. Atlanta at New Orleans. The Falcons are a 3.5-point favorite on the road against the Saints. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to take the Saints. I'm going to take the Falcons minus 3.5. The Falcons are 3-0 on the road this year against the spread. Pretty good road team against the spread. San Francisco at Tampa Bay. The Niners finally get Christian McCaffrey. He's officially listed as questionable, but he has not played a game yet. Number one pick in my fantasy draft by me. So he's been sitting on my bench for 9 weeks. Let's go. Let's go. And let's take the 49ers minus 6.5 at Tampa Bay, especially if he plays. But I assume that he's going to play. I think they win by a touchdown at Tampa Bay. Bucks are pretty good. They took the Chiefs to overtime last week in a hard-fought game. I will go 49ers minus 6.5. In that game. Pittsburgh at Washington. I'm in love with this Commanders team. I don't even have to look, but I will. Commanders minus 1 all day long. Give me. I know the Steelers are playing well. I know that. But the Commanders are on fire, man. They're 4-0 against the spread at home. They're minus 1 today at home. Give me the Washington Commanders. Minnesota at Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence is going to miss the second game of his NFL career. The Jaguars, according to the AP, have no plans to announce his status until 90 minutes before kickoff. We have reached that point, and Lawrence isn't going to play. So the Vikings at Jacksonville, a 7-point favorite. I'm going to go ahead with that. Give me the Vikings minus 7. Also today, these are the afternoon games. Tennessee at the Chargers. I like the Chargers at home, but 8 points is too many. Give me the Titans plus 8 at LA today against the Chargers. The other afternoon game, Philadelphia at Dallas. The Cowboys are brutal. They are playing at home. They do have a 7-point spread lined up in this one in Vegas. I'll go with the Eagles minus 7. I just don't believe in the Cowboys right now. I think they are a disaster. And Dak Prescott, by the way, is out and will be out for a long time. Jets at Arizona. The Cardinals are starting to play some ball here. This is a desperate Jets team. They're 3-6, and they are about to be on the outs. I think this Cardinals team doesn't get a ton of respect. I'm going to give them some today. They're an underdog at home against a 3-6 Aaron Rodgers-led Jets team. Give me Arizona plus 1.5, please. Thank you. Detroit at Houston is the Sunday night game. Best team in the NFC is Detroit. They are steamrolling people, and they are not apologizing for it. They're a 3-point favorite on the road at Houston. I am so tempted to take the Texans plus 3 at home on a Sunday night, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna go Lions minus 3 on Sunday night football against the Houston Texans. And then finally, the Miami Dolphins are visiting the Los Angeles Rams on Monday night football. It's a 1.5 spread. LA is a 1.5-point favorite against the Dolphins. I just got finished telling you that I thought the Dolphins surprised me with how they played against the Bills, and I'm going to try to ride that today. These teams are going in opposite directions. I get that. The Rams have won 3 in a row, and the Dolphins have lost 3 in a row. But the Dolphins have lost those 3 in a row by a combined 10 points. Combined. And Tua has been outstanding. Tua Tagovailoa. He's completed 80% of his passes with 3 touchdowns and no interceptions in the past 2 games. I will take the Dolphins. Plus 1.5. On the road, which doesn't mean anything when you play the Rams. Even Dolphins fans will crowd SoFi Stadium. You watch. Even Dolphins fans who are across the country will flood SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles today, tomorrow night, Monday Night Football. We'll ask Joe Buck if I'm right about that after he calls it. Dolphins plus 1.5, and those are your picks. So we'll see what happens. Coming up next, we are going to visit with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. Very much looking forward to picking his brain as to what happened at the GM meetings, what's going on with these current players, what he's looking for in Wilson Contreras playing first base, etc. It's all next. Bernie Miklas will follow him at 11:45. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
It's great to be back with you. 11:30 on this gorgeous day in downtown St. Louis. Joining us on the line is the president of baseball operations of the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak. How are you, Mo?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How are you?
It's great. Things are great here. Great to talk to you as always. And a big announcement about your local television rights. I want to get into that and talk about a lot of things that have happened over the last week with regard to your team. Just in general, how did the GM meetings go as you were able to get back together with some of the executives and other baseball personnel?
Yeah, it's always a good time in terms of trying to get an understanding of what 29 other teams are trying to do this off season, but also you have the ability to sit down with agents and reconnect with all of them as well. And, you know, obviously this offseason is going to be a little different for us as we really try to create some opportunity from within. And so felt like this past week we used our time well, and yeah, sort of excited to see what the next month or two brings for us.
I am too. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this all shakes out. You know, I heard you loud and clear in your end of the season press conference when you noted that payroll was going to be reduced. I think the question, and a fair one, is how much. No one really seems to know the answer to that. Some things do have to still play out with the current roster, don't they?
That's correct. Obviously, you brought up the television rights situation. So getting some clarity there will be helpful as well. So that was really good news. And, you know, moving forward, I think there's still some things we'd like to see happen. And, you know, that will really end up dictating where our payroll ends up. But I think maybe the way to kind of get your head around it is simply like, we're not driving to a certain number at this point. We want to see really how the roster shakes out, what opportunities may be there for us. And I think, you know, understanding what Mr. DeWitt has really given me is not something where it's just get to a certain number and, you know, that's where you are. It's, you know, what are our options, and are there things that we can do? Because, you know, we are going to want to put a product out there that we are proud of. And so trying to balance that with sort of the new paradigm of where we are from a revenue standpoint. But in the end, we're still going to look at trying to put the best club out that we can.
There is evidence of teams that have sort of changed direction, if you will, maybe in your own division. I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers traded Corbin Burns. I think the narrative was, well, Milwaukee looks like they're going to take a little step back and try to redevelop who they are, and then they go out and win the division. Does that also factor into what you do? Do you look around the league and try to pattern yourself in some ways after what teams have accomplished to get to that point?
You know, really, we're just doing a self-reflection. Obviously, you look back at what Milwaukee did. I mean, they, you know, traded away their top pitcher, but yet they still had success. I think the big thing for the Cardinals in terms of will we be good or not will be, do our young players emerge? You saw that happen with Milwaukee this past year, and obviously they made the most of it. So, you know, for us, that's going to be the key. Do we get that type of production that we envision is capable of happening? And so, you know, very hopeful in that regard, but I mean, that's why you play the game.
Sure. And then, you know, the rest of your players, some who make a pretty hefty salary, but also some who have been around this game at a high level, and we know who they are. They've been talked about openly. Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, Nolan Arenado. Those are three biggies right there. How does that work, Mo, where you take the temperature of where they are, where you are, and how they feel about the future of the organization?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, these guys signed multi-year contracts, or we acquired them on a multi-year contract with no trades. And, you know, with the direction we're trying to head, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if this is something that they want to be a part of, or do they want me to explore a possible exit strategy for them? So, you know, we used our time over the last couple of weeks to work through that. I think we have a pretty good idea of what that looks like now. And that's why the next month and a half will be interesting.
Well, we'll start to see some clarity there. One thing we do know is that Wilson Contreras, as you informed the media at the GM meetings, is going to play first base. Now, the more you step back and look at that, that actually makes sense. You have catchers coming. You have first base open. You have an enthusiastic athlete who can rip the baseball when he's healthy. I guess the one thing that also came with that is Wilson wants to be part of what you're doing, it sounds like.
Right. And, you know, going back to even just the end of our season, I had heard rumblings that he was starting to wonder, like, what's best for his career in terms of longevity. And so speaking with our medical team, performance team, really felt like getting him out from behind the plate would be in his best interest to stay healthy. And so when you think about his offensive upside, his athleticism, this definitely makes sense. And then this doesn't mean you'll never see Burley over at first base, because, you know, we are going to try to mix and match, but really just try to optimize this lineup on the players we have.
What do you think about Lucan Baker, how he ended last year, and kind of what's ahead for him?
You know, I think from an offensive standpoint, there is upside. But when you're looking at just pure first base, I think, you know, from a defensive standpoint, there are still some question marks there. But, you know, he's definitely an offensive threat and, you know, not ruling anything out. Obviously, we're a long way away from opening day, and lots of things can happen.
Sure, I understand that. Your catching position is a strength in this organization. Let's talk about some of those guys. So Pedro Pages, we know, we saw, and I think people were impressed how he handled pitchers, how he protected, and how he played the position. Ivan Herrera still needs to work in that area, is my understanding, but boy, does he look like a big league hitter, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, they're a little different, right? Pages seems to be more of a defensive-minded catcher with a chance to run into some at times. So if he could get a little more consistent at the plate, that would be a good thing. Herrera, I think from a catching standpoint, it's really about just trying to add some arm strength. I think it would be a big help for him. So that'll be an off-season focus. But yeah, I think from an offensive standpoint, this guy knows how to hit. And then obviously we have Crooks coming and Bernal coming. And so, you know, we have a lot of depth at catching. And I can tell you from just my time at the GM meetings, I think I got asked about every single one of them.
So, I bet.
Not surprising.
Crooks, your minor league player of the year. Is he a balance of both? Does he do both very well, offense, defense?
You know, he's moved so quickly. I think, like, one of the things we got to remind ourselves of is just a little bit of patience. I do, you know, recall seeing a lot of him in spring training last year, and I thought from a defensive standpoint, probably the strongest arm we had as a catcher, but still learning sort of the ins and outs as a receiver, and that just requires time. But I think from an offensive standpoint, he really did step it up. He spent last offseason really working on trying to add some exit velocity, and it translated into more power for him. And so, you know, that was great to see. So just how quickly he's evolved has been fun to watch.
I know that last year was not where you wanted to finish, but there was one really strong point of your team, and that was bullpen. And I know there are a lot of pieces here to be moved and or at least solved here in the next few months. But how do you see your bullpen as it stands right now?
Yeah, again, it's something we got hit on a lot this past week. So, you know, just having to sort of understand what those opportunities may look like. But, you know, you said it was a strength. I mean, obviously, Hells pitched really well. JoJo was there. You know, Kit wore a lot of different hats for us in that bullpen. So, you know, right now he's a free agent. And in terms of what happens moving forward, as you know, I never talk about free agents, but you know, clearly right now we still think it's going to be one of our strengths. And, you know, if there's something we can add to that between now and in February, that's something we'll think about.
John, the Arizona Fall League taking place. And when you traded with the Rangers and acquired Thomas Tejesi, we heard about his bat to ball skills. This certainly seems to be trending in the right direction for you. What are you hearing lately about Tejesi and what he's been able to do?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's having a fantastic fall league, and that was great to see. His walks are up, so because he's a very aggressive hitter, and I think having some level of patience will suit him well. I can imagine, though, at this point he's getting to the point of being tired. You know, the one thing about the fall league, it's a great finishing league. You think back to the last 30 years of that league, it really was guys like Tejesi that played in it that were, you know, just on the verge of being in the big leagues or had some big league experience. Whereas now it's taking a step back, in my opinion, a little bit to where it's more of a double-A type league. And I think part of that's just the demand of the season and players, you know, don't really want to be playing into mid-November. They're tired. They want to recharge. They want to, hit the weight room, get stronger, and be ready for spring training. And so it's great to see what Thomas has done out there, because a lot of people would have probably already pulled the plug.
I appreciate all these answers about all my questions about players. I just have one more quick one before we go, and that is Rob Serfolio, the addition to the front office. I have not talked to you about him. So what can you tell us about him, and why was he the right choice?
Really impressive guy. Obviously, over the last few weeks, I've gotten to know him a lot better than just merely an interview. But bright, energetic, has a really good feel for understanding player development. And as we spend a lot of time and energy and dollars, frankly, on what we want this to look like, it's nice to have someone that's had the experience that he has had in Cleveland, and, you know, to be able to replicate some of the things that we're trying to get better at. So really like him as an addition. I think he'll fit in great, and looking forward to working with him.
Looking forward to our next conversation. Thank you as always. And I appreciate this. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful Sunday here in St. Louis.
Thank you, Tommy. You too. See ya.
John Mozeliak with us on KMOX 1142. We come back. Bernie Miklas on Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Our visit with Bernie Miklas is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. My dear friend Bernie Miklas joins us on this Sunday morning. How are you, Bernie?
I'm doing good, man. I'm still trying to recover from a bananas, absolutely bananas day of college football. Miami getting upset by Georgia Tech, Ole Miss dominating Georgia physically in a way I haven't seen Georgia dominate in a long time. Alabama and Jalen Milroe just running absolutely wild and blowing out LSU in Baton Rouge. You got Indiana showing some real toughness by surviving a challenge from a really fired up Michigan team. BYU, and this is the one that I was up very late for, BYU stays unbeaten with a last-second field goal to win at their bitter rival's home field at Utah. And then Mizzou, of course, with just an insane, insane game, and they come out ahead to take down their old rival from the Big 12 days, Oklahoma.
Oh, it's nuts. And you got the Utah AD is, you know, taking the podium and saying that they got the game stolen from them, and he's going to report to the Big 12 commissioner on the officiating. I mean, everybody's going absolutely nuts. I'm at the Mizzou game last night in Columbia, and what a cap to the day. First of all, I'm out there on the tailgate lots, and I'm pacing because the Indiana, which had a 17-3 lead, has it trimmed all the way down to 17-15. They end up, as you said, holding them off. So I'm freaking out. I'm getting text messages from my friends. The cell service isn't good, so I'm looking for a TV on at somebody's tailgate. My head is spinning. When they win that game, I feel a lot better. And then at the end of the Mizzou game, I mean, I really felt sick to my stomach. I mean, it's 16-9. Oklahoma ties the game, takes the lead on a scoop and score, and then Missouri somehow drives down the field with Drew Pine, hits Theo Weiss for a touchdown, gets their own scoop and score against the turnover-prone Sooners and wins the game 30-23. Absolutely nuts. And I said this in the beginning of the show, Bernie, maybe we now know what Missouri's identity is. They find ways to win games even when they don't play well, because all of their games have kind of been the same. They just sort of squeak by.
No, I totally agree with you. It's kind of like they're able to master chaos. And, you know, those are most of their wins have been on the chaotic side. And unfortunately, their two losses were just total beatdowns. They lose 75-10 combined score to Alabama and Texas A&M. But they're surviving. And the thing of it is, you know, they're sitting there at 7-2, and Coach Drinkwitz has this program, you know, 18-4 in the last 22 games. And I was looking this up today. Mizzou has been ranked in 21 of the last 22 Associated Press top 25 polls. And that includes being ranked in the top 10 8 times in the last 14 weeks. So even if they don't make the playoffs, and I know Drinkwitz is actually catching some grief in the national media today because he said, hey, we're still in the playoff hunt after beating Oklahoma. Technically, they are. But even without any type of playoff, you know, performance or appearance this year, this is a great, great time for Mizzou football. He's got a lot to sell, whether they make the playoffs or not.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, if they go 11-2 again, I mean, it would be a tall order. They'd have to run the table here, but they got to go to South Carolina and win. That's the huge key, obviously.
Sure, sure.
But and let's say they win a bowl game. I mean, I think it's pretty far-fetched that they make the playoff, but they are still technically, you know, mathematically involved. But let's say they go 11-2 again. Are you kidding me? 22-4 in 2 years? That's incredible.
It really is. And see, you brought it up and you nailed it. And the thing of it is, I'm not trying to be a grouch about the idea of them making the playoffs. I think if we go by the College Football Power Index, Mizzou's got about an 8% chance to make it. So there is a chance. But it's really, there's nothing to talk about in any type of important way right now, because in 6 days, they play at South Carolina, a team that is red hot, and a team that if you look at outside the top 25 polls, if you just look at the FPI, they're ranked 14th in the country, and South Carolina is number 10 in the Sagarin ratings. If you look at what they've done in their last four, they lose by two at Alabama, and then they just absolutely destroy Oklahoma, Texas, A&M, and Vandy by an average of about 24 points. So Mizzou's actually going into a place that's South Carolina's like at this moment is one of the hottest teams in college football. If the Tigers can win there, then we have something to talk about. But until this game comes along, as Drink would say, I think he would say it's just a lot of noise until we see what happens Saturday. Right.
That's right. He doesn't listen to any of that stuff.
No, that's right.
Yeah. And I totally respect that. I like Drink in that respect. I'm going to have to see. My app is stalling on me here, but I want to see what the spread is, the early spread is on that game at South Carolina. If I had to guess, I'd say South Carolina by at least 10, probably 10 to 14, somewhere in there.
But yeah, we'll and it's weird because they don't. It's not like they have a great overall record. I mean, they're 4-3 in the SEC, for example. But we're talking about at the moment, they're just sizzlingly good. And this is going to be, as much as I was enamored and just loved the way Drew Pine came on in the second half last night. I mean, this is going to be a monstrous type of test for Mizzou, especially for their offense on the road. So, but who knows, man? They're showing some survival skills.
What an amazing night last night. I know a lot of people are buzzing about that game yesterday. Missouri and South Carolina. I know I've got it here. Let me see if I can find it real quick before I switch topic. 13.5. So I was pretty good there. I said between 10 and 14. It's a 13.5 point spread. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll see. Let me wrap the final 4 minutes here on Cardinals. So I just talked to John Mozeliak. Just a quick rundown. He has had that conversation, as you know, with Wilson Contreras at first base. He's talked to his players. He left it kind of open as to what would happen here, Gray, Arenado. And, of course, he's not going to talk about Helsley, but he indicated they're getting a ton of calls about their bullpen and about their catchers. Your thoughts on where the Cardinals stand currently?
You know, they have a chance. This, you know, I use the term rebuild for 2025, but I've always said it, we're not talking about a massive rebuild. We're not talking about a long and painful rebuild. It could be a moderate rebuild, and they could have a respectable 2025 season. And as time goes on, I believe that even more. And, of course, we don't know what the final roster is going to be going into spring training. And a lot of it does hinge upon whether they decide to keep Ryan Helsley or they trade Ryan Helsley, because without Ryan Helsley, that opens up a potential huge vulnerability, because they put games, they put late leads away better than just about any team in baseball last season. And it's the number one reason why they won 83 games. But if you take Helsley out of there, then you're scrambling to figure out the closer situation. And that could be a challenge, to say the least. So I think a lot is dependent upon whether Helsley is a Cardinal to start 2025 or not. I love the Contreras move to first base, because you're going to improve offensively at first base, and Their second best hitter last year among players that had 250 plate appearances was Ivan Herrera. And if they play him a lot behind the plate, now you're going to have two improved positions in your lineup, first base and catcher, in terms of upgrading that offense. And I think Contreras is going to work hard. He's a man that's got immense pride. I think he's going to work really, really hard to be a solid, respectable first baseman. I know a lot of people are concerned about that, and I get it, because Goldschmidt was really good defensively. But sometimes you have to put a premium on offense, especially after the way that team struggled offensively in 2024.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. We're going to have the Gas House Gang. We're going to expand on this conversation tomorrow at noon. The four of us will be back together. Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman. We're on the KMOX Sports social media channels, KMOX News as well, KMOX's YouTube page. You'll subscribe to KMOX Sports YouTube. I know that, just to get those rolling. You can also hear them in podcast form, and you can see them again at KMOX.com. Bernie, you are on YouTube. How is that been going? I know you said you wanted to re-engage and post even more videos and get things rolling on your Bernie Show YouTube page, which is a must subscribe.
It's been going well, and I appreciate you, you know, letting me talk about it just a second here. You know, I'm trying to think, and if I take a second to look this up, and I know I'm on limited time, but if you look at some of the goals I had for this, I was hoping to get to 5,000 subscribers over the first 3 or 4 months, but I'm closing in on 7,000. I've got a tremendous number of views for all my videos, and it's mostly Cardinal stuff, but I do mix in some Blues and Mizzou. So the audience has been great. They've made this thing a lot of fun for me to do, and I'm very thankful and appreciative for all the support. So people can find that at youtube.com/@TheBernieShow.
His last post was Cardinals must motivate the fans. So you'll have to click on that for sure, and you'll have to watch us tomorrow at noon. And I appreciate you, pal. Thanks for the visit.
We'll talk tomorrow. Tom, can't wait. I should say blah, 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 blah. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, buddy. Bernie Miklas on KMOX.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.